I missed you all last week. I hope you had fun blessing the animals. I went to Chicago to do a huge and beautiful wedding at St. James Cathedral in Chicago. It was the wedding of the granddaughter of one of our parishioners. The wedding went off without a hitch, which is pretty rare. And the reception was glorious with all these flowers and dancing, and I was enjoying myself, but I started to feel weird. I thought maybe I was getting allergies, so I asked a friend if I could take a Benadryl. That didn't seem to help much. Over dinner, I was talking with these fascinating people, but I couldn't concentrate. Had to leave the reception a little early, went to bed, and woke up the next morning not feeling very good. I got on the airplane and managed to get home. By Monday morning, my throat felt like it was on fire. And I've had strep throat before, so I went to the clinic and said, I think I have strep throat. And they said, okay, let's test. No, you don't have strep throat, you have influenza A. How many of you all have had the real flu? Number. I've only had it twice in my life, and both were when I flew to different parts of the country to do weddings. Is there something to that? I felt like I had been hit by a truck. It was as if my body didn't belong to me anymore. It was so achy. I lay in bed for 5 straight days, and sometime on Thursday night, I woke up, and thank God I began to recognize myself. It's like going through some kind of fog where your body doesn't belong to you anymore. It was scary. But I'm done with the Tamiflu. I'm officially well and non-contagious, and I'm thankful to be back with you. But I did learn something about how much I take for granted when it comes to my health. In the time of Jesus, there was no cure for leprosy. Today, it's easy. Antibiotics, boom, it's done. But back then, there was nothing. Today, you can tell if someone's getting it by the rash that they'll develop, and it's very easy to diagnose and treat. Back then, there were no doctors, so you had to go to the local priest. Can you imagine? Ooh, I'd have to tell who had leprosy. What would happen is that this rash would begin to itch and spread, and then the skin would start flaking off. And when it got really bad, you'd start losing fingers and toes, maybe your nose, parts of your ears. Leprosy is contagious through the air, and they knew enough back then to know that. So if the priest declared that you had leprosy and you came from a village where they had some resources, they would hang a bell around your neck so that as you were walking, the bell would sound and people would run. If you came from a village where there were no resources, they would ask you to yell ahead of yourself, leper, leper, leper. And people would scatter. So not only did you get very sick, but your life was completely derailed. Once you were declared a leper, you could no longer see anyone that you loved. Not your children, not your spouse, not your parents or your friends. You didn't want to see them, because if you saw them, you were subjecting them to the same disease. It was total isolation. And I imagine that the worst part was that you couldn't be touched. No one to hold your hand. No one to give you a hug or stroke your hair. You really were alone, unless you managed to find another leper to be miserable with. Life as you know it ended. It was all just taken away. In this gospel, Jesus is walking from between the Galilee and Samaria. So the area would have been full of both Jews and Samaritans. And as normal, I think as Jesus was walking, there was a crowd around him wanting to listen to his every word, wanting him to heal their ailments, teach them. And somewhere off in the distance, Jesus hears the voice of the lepers. They can't come anywhere close, but they're crying with a kind of urgency, maybe with a piercing loudness to their voices that distinguished them from everyone else. Jesus, listen to us. Hear us. Help us. Something about their voices captures Jesus' attention, and he turns to them and he says, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." It's interesting, he doesn't say, "I make you well," or "I'm going to make everything okay." He asks them to trust him and start walking to the person who can declare them well. And all 10 of them start the walk. And it's on that walk to the priest that their bodies are restored. And I can't imagine what's going through their minds. I'm going to get to see my wife. I wonder if my dad is still alive. I'll get to hold my son. I wonder if the people of my village will recognize me. Consumed with the return to life, they make their way towards the priest and they're made well, and 9 of them just keep right on going. And only one leper turns around and comes back. And he falls down at Jesus' feet and says, "Thank you." And Jesus says, "Where are the 9? I thought I made 10 well. Where are the rest of them?" And then he looks at this one man and says, Your faith has made you well. My friends, I think there's a big difference between physical health and being spiritually well. Between physical health and being spiritually well. 10 lepers were healed physically, but only one leper was made well. To be well is to gain the right perspective in life. To be well is to acknowledge that every breath that we take comes from God. Every beat of our hearts, every time we open our eyes, the well person wakes up in the morning, falls to his or her or his knees and says, "Thank you that I'm awake. Thank you that I'm breathing. Thank you that I can stand." The well person understands that life is a gift. From inception to death, we are not in control of any of it. It doesn't belong to us. We didn't make it. I don't know about you. Did you plan to be born? Did you fix that all up by yourself? Because if you did, I want to hear how you did it. Nine of those lepers is given health, but none of them realizes who gave it to them. They just think they should have had it anyway. And it is so easy to think that way, especially when we're young. It's easy just to assume that our bodies are supposed to work. We deserve it. Somehow we are owed it, and it's good. Get up in the morning, go to your first appointment, go to the next thing, take a shower, whatever. So few of us know how to be well, to get the right perspective, and to say thank you. You know, throughout the years, people have said to me, "The church is made up of primarily older people. I think the church is dying." And I usually say, "Nah, the church has often been made up of primarily older people." You know why? Because it's when our bodies start falling apart that we start thinking about God. There's a reason why when people start getting older, they start coming to church. They start thinking about the fact that there may be more to life than just running around getting busy or making a living. They start searching for something more. What's your perspective? Do you remember to give thanks? John Claypool, who was a priest that lived years ago, had a daughter who died at 9 years old of leukemia, and he was absolutely devastated, as anyone would be. His grief was overwhelming. He couldn't see past his own heart being broken, and he couldn't figure out how he was going to keep being a priest. One morning, he was eating breakfast with his son and wife, trying to make himself eat some cereal, and something happened to him. God changed his perspective. John would later write, "I realized on that morning, for some reason, that I had a choice. I could forever feel robbed of the fact that my daughter was taken from me at a young age. Or I could look up and be grateful for my son who was still alive." And so John lifted his eyes to his son and said, "What does your day look like today, honey?" being well, getting the right perspective, has very little to do with what is actually going on in your life. It just has to do with getting the ability to give thanks for every little thing you've been given, starting first thing in the morning. And the weird thing is, once you start giving thanks, it'll start multiplying until you feel so blessed that you can barely bear it. Once you realize how much your body accomplishes every day, how blessed you are to have people that you love in your life, or this incredible church, the beauty of the weather that begins to get cool in Florida at this time of year, a sunset, a flower, you'll realize that God is giving you presence all the time. All the time. And that's why Christians, on the very first thing, on the first day of the week, we get up and we put on something beautiful and we come here and we do this thing that is called Eucharist. And you know what the word means? Thanksgiving. We give thanks, just like that one leper. Out of all the millions in this city, you all got up, you got dressed, you came here in order to be spiritually well. Amen.